from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Kulak to play it. Drysdale spins in his own zone. On the tape to Perry. A touch over the line for Nurse. Back to Corey Perry. Wait on. Nurse the strike. Scores. Ryan McLeod. And the Oilers are on the board.
Newest Buffalo Sabre, Ryan McLeod. Scored some big goals for the Oilers. 3 in the finals. So he got scratched that one game. But as I mentioned, like, McDavid, Drysdale, Nugent Hopkins, Henrique. Just, it's hard to carve out a spot. He scored 3 goals in the 6 games he played in the finals. Only one other playoff goal. It was their first playoff goal for the Oilers. So he had a long middle there where he didn't score. But it's not his role also. 12 goals last year, 11 the year before that. Defensive stalwart, fast, third line center of the Buffalo Sabres, Ryan McLeod. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off until training camp. Sal's in this week. I'll take some of your phone calls on the Sabres trade and get to, like, if this is it. Is this enough? How are we feeling if this is it? Paul in Buffalo is next up. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Hi, Joe. Hi, Sal.
Hi.
For me, I'd say about 3 years ago, I called the Much Bailey, Hoog, Howard and Jeremy show. And I said, you know, there's two types of fans, fans of the NHL roster and fans of the prospect pool. And for me, a fan of the NHL roster, I can say definitively for the first time in 5 years, the NHL roster is the organization's priority. And I mean, I've criticized Kevin Adams enough. I'd like to say thank you, Kevin Adams, for making the NHL roster the priority. I mean, I care nothing about a second-round pick from Beck Malenstein. And I said the day before they drafted Savoy, they shouldn't make the pick. And I said after they drafted Savoy, he will never impact our roster. I guess he's impacted it as a third-line center. What I would like to say to Kevin Adams, if you can't trade for a top-six player to complete this roster, and I think it would be a complete roster with a top-six forward, offer sheet Quentin Byfield, because every team in the league already treats the Buffalo Sabres like a bullied kid. And until you fight back as a bullied kid, you're just going to get bullied. So offer sheet Quentin Byfield. And if that doesn't work, offer sheet the next best player. And if that doesn't work, offer sheet the next best player until we have our top six winner, because we bought one out for some reason. Guys, have a good show. Thank you.
There is a point in here that I agree with. But not the only point, but I mean, thanks for the call. Well laid out, well thought. I understand completely what Paul is talking about the prospects and the two kinds of fans, because it's not just two kinds of fans. I think as any fan, you love hearing you have the best prospect pool in the league. We all do. Mm-hmm. Joe, you've had, who is it? What's the guy that comes on to talk about prospects and the best prospect pool you have
Chris
on?
Chris Peters.
Chris Peters is one of them. There's another
Hadi
person.
Kalikash.
There's another one that writes.
Scott Wheeler. There's a lot of prospects, guys.
Anyway, he comes on and he does the ranking of the prospects every year, prospect pools. Either way,
yeah,
we've had him on. And it's always great to hear, yeah, Sabres, number one, number two, right? Always the top prospects, the guys that they have. And that's nice. I love it. I love hearing it, too. But I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't make this trade, where does Matt Savoy play this year?
That's the thing.
Where does he play?
Well, really, if they don't make this trade, I said this a couple weeks ago, like, I think you have to, I think I want him at third line center. But it wasn't even because I thought that would go well. It was just, I didn't like what they had, and like, okay, maybe this will work. There really wasn't a spot, there was not an obvious spot.
And if Matt Savoy is your third line center on opening night.
That's really questionable.
That's not something we're all really excited about, other than you have a really high prospect that we're excited to see.
Yeah.
But you're not thinking about them taking the next step and making the playoffs if that's really what your plan is
right at
third line center. So I agree with when Paul says, hey, it's great to think about all these prospects for people, but at some point you have to make your roster better.
Right.
And I said the same thing last week. Look, again, folks, I love having Matt Savoy. I love having all these great prospects. Give me all the prospects to be, yeah, we're set up for many years. But holy cow, how many times have we heard how many times they're set up for the next several years and it hasn't transitioned and it hasn't actually happened? So if this is what you have to do to make the big club better, then you do it. And that's where I fall on this, which is, it's time to, what's the line in Shawshank? Get busy living or get busy dying, right? I mean, for so long, we've just been getting busy dying at the NHL roster because we've been so worried about or thinking about and in love with the prospect pool.
Yeah.
It's prospect fatigue is what Jeremy called it.
There's definitely, oh man, there's so much prospect fatigue. He could have even been the third line center this year. Like, it wasn't impossible. But I've criticized them for not being like a real NHL team. And even still, some of that's true, but they definitely went against that on Friday in a good way. Like, real NHL teams that are trying to make the playoffs, that are desperate to win, like that above all else, that's what they're trying to do. Generally, those teams do not just sit around and wait for 18 and 19 year olds to come save the day. And it, you know, sure, Matthew Savoy opening night as your third line center, would that have been interesting? Would that have been even exciting a little bit? Yeah, sure, because it's new and you don't know what it's going to look like. So there's an untapped potential there. Sure, it could not go well at all, but on the flip end of that, maybe it goes great. He was a top 10 pick. Maybe he's the exact thing you're looking for to replace Casey Mittelstadt as that third line center. But a team that is acting like we have to make the playoffs this year doesn't just sit around waiting for the 19-year-old to come save them and come fill in their roster spot. That's not what Toronto would do. It's not what the New York Rangers would do. It's not what Carolina would do. It's not what the Edmonton Oilers would do. If these teams have major holes on their roster, they will go fill them at all costs. And sure, I do think the Sabres overpaid in this deal, but the one benefit that all those teams I just mentioned have is they're basically open for business for every player in the league. And again, until the Sabres win, I just don't know. I don't know to what extent their challenge is of if they want to go get a third line center, if they want to go get the player that Matt Savoy is worth. Because sure, do we want to all agree Matthew Savoy should fetch you a better player in a deal than Ryan McLeod? I won't disagree with you on that. What I might say though to that is the player that Matthew Savoy is worth in a deal, I don't know if that player is saying yes to you, and that is a real problem that the Sabres have that probably doesn't fix itself until they win hockey games. You mentioned Savoy and prospect fatigue and best prospect pool in the league, at least deepest. I know some would have them even ranked high. I saw like Byron Bader is one. There are a bunch of prospect guys that have them ranked a little bit lower than that. But even like him, He has the Sabres ranked like 8th or something, but he, I think, has called them the deepest pool in the league. Like, they might not have that high-end, you know, Connor Bedard-level prospect in their pool right now, but there's just so many of them.
Right.
There are, with Savoy in the picture, and he's not anymore, but when he was, you had 6 forward prospects. Let's look at their depth chart. Let's look at how it looks right now. 6 first-round forward prospects that have either just made the NHL or are about to. So that includes, I'll include Zach Benson for that. That's where I'll put the cutoff. Look at their top 6 right
now. It's funny to me that, and I'm not pushing against it. Yeah. I just think it's wild we consider Benson a prospect, which he is, but he played a full NHL season and played well.
He is. I'm going to include him in
but
this
he is
just
a prospect, but he's...
Yeah.
He's second-year guy now.
The reason I won't put him, that I'll include him still, is he still hasn't reached his place in the lineup that you'd expect him to.
Okay,
maybe
like
right
that.
Now he will.
Okay.
Because right now, let's look at their top 6 on the NHL roster and whether how long they're going to be here. Tage Thompson, not going anywhere, under contract. Alex Tuch, not going anywhere, but he's got 3-4 years left in his contract. He's not going anywhere. J.J. Paterka. He needs a contract next year, but a restricted free agency and whatnot. J.J. Paterka is not going anywhere. 3. My top line, you can play around with combinations if you want, but my top 3 forwards are locked in. Okay, after that, Dylan Cousins, signed for 7 years. Jack Quinn, RFA next year. Don't expect at all he's going anywhere soon. That's 5. 5 of my 6, my top 6, 5 of them are probably not going anywhere for what, 5 years?
Well, that's fine. How do you feel about the 5? Because there's one thing to say they're not going anywhere, and yeah, I feel good about that. Or, boy, they're not going anywhere, and I don't know how that really looks for me then, and if I'm going to be stuck in neutral.
That's a different part of this, and I think we could talk about that too. The point I was trying to get to is, and that's a good extension off that, but what I was saying is, I guess what you're saying is true, too. You could move those guys out. Maybe that's what would happen, is someone from their top 5 would say, hey, you're not cutting it as much as we hope, so we got to drop you down.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, those 5 are all in your top 6.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all those other prospects are battling for 1 spot. And others will make the 3rd line. Others might even make the 4th line.
Give me the prospects
like
that are battling.
Benson. And Kulik, and Oslund, and Roseanne, and now Hellenius. Savoy's not even in the picture now. All I need is one of those 5 to become a top 6 guy, and the rest of you, if you just become good bottom 6 forwards,
I'm good.
Are you
throwing a dart again like you did at wide receiver? Is that what you're doing here?
A little bit.
One of them's going to hit?
No, I hear you.
I agree. It sucks when you hear about how great of a prospect Matt Savoy is for the last few years, and it's giving you some sort of hope for a team that has not made the playoffs in 13 years, and then poof, he vanishes for a guy that was a healthy scratch one time in the NHL Stanley Cup final, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I totally understand that from any fan's perspective. But it's been 13 years, and they've had the best prospect pool or one of them for the better part of the last 5 or 6 of those, and they still haven't made the playoffs. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, yes, it's a price to pay, but you got to get better. It's time to win.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand why they did it.
And do we believe he'll help them win? Because I do. I think McLeod is going to help them win. I think he is one of the better defensive centers in hockey. Evolving Hockey, who puts a lot of their numbers into, you know, percentiles. They do their player cards. They have goals above replacement numbers. I don't need to get too into the weeds on it. They had him as a 97th percentile defensive center. They have him at least as one of the better defensive centers in hockey. And offensively, I don't know. You mentioned earlier we don't know the ceiling on him. He might have more offensively. I don't know if I want to bank on that, but defensive zone starts. He always starts in his own end. Why? Because if they have a face-off next to the opposing goalie, guess who's going out on the ice? McDavid or Dreisaitl. McLeod's not going out
there.
Guess who's playing power play at center for them? McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins. He has 1 point in the last 2 years on the power play. I'm not saying he'll be on the number 1 unit for the Sabres. Maybe he'll be on the number 2, but Edmonton, any offensive situation, he just wasn't even a thought because they have the best centers in hockey. Here, he's going to get an opportunity for growth offensively in addition to what he already does defensively, which I think is going that part alone is going to help them win hockey games.
How much? I don't want to say they wouldn't make the trade if this weren't the case. But the big part of this, too, is Lindy is the coach.
I think all of their offseason moves probably have a light on Lindy's design.
Yeah, right? I'm not or telling want, you that Kevin wants. Adams doesn't make this trade if Don Granato's still the coach. He might do that because of the pressure on the organization and Kevin Adams to win.
Yep.
But certainly, you'd have to think, this is the exact kind of player Lindy Ruff loves. He is the exact. And quite honestly, Matt Savoy might not be.
Mm-hmm. How many of those types of guys does Lindy want? How many kids also does Lindy want, right? Like, hey, we've got, hey, what do we got to work with here? Oh, I got all these 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. Like, what? This guy's 24 over here. I can get him. He's 24 years old. He's played in the playoffs every year of his career.
Right, right.
I could see that too. Like, Lindy, what do we expect now from Lindy? Because one point that I've made when they signed him or when they brought Lindy back is he'll often adapt to what he has. And he's done that throughout his Sabre career and even past that New Jersey, Dallas. If Hasek's his best player, if Miller's his best player, he'll lock it up and play defense. If he's got Briere and Drury and Vanek and Roy and Connolly and a million other skilled forwards, what are they going to do? They're going to be the best. They're going to be the highest scoring team in the league. He did that with the Devils, by the way, 2 years ago. One of the highest scoring teams in the league, young, fast. But now it's more like, okay, he's in those meetings. And Adams is making the final decisions, but Lindy's input is there. He's talked about that. Any relationship between GM and coach in the league seems to have at least some of that. So what is the design of the roster, and what can Lindy do with it? And what does Lindy want with it? And I think what we're seeing is a very clear intent to be more buttoned up and to be more mature defensively than they've been for 3 years. Don Granato played there were two things that went wrong last year. What did they want to do with their style? They talked about it. I don't know if it didn't work on the ice.
Last year.
What did they want to
well,
be?
They wanted to be a little bit more defensive responsible after the previous season on how great they were offensively, but felt they weren't as good as they should have been defensively.
Exactly. That's exactly what they wanted to be. And you might have had two things that were working against you. You had a head coach that for years had been preaching to these players, hey, outscore your mistakes. Don't worry about making mistakes. Go be you. Have fun. Score. Be fast. You know, like we're going to outscore our mistakes. Like Granato had a certain mindset about this team for multiple seasons. And I don't doubt that he was trying to relay a different type of style to the players last year. But does it hit the same way? You know, like, When a guy's been telling you to play a style for years and now suddenly we're changing that, but it's the same voice, you know, like how seriously are you going to take it? I don't know. And in addition to that, was their roster built to play differently? Was their roster built to play that way? I think we saw, especially from their bottom six players, the answer was no. They were not ready to play that way. Now I've got a coach that has coached that way tons of times in his career that is, you know, new voice in the room with the message coming in from the start. Like, this is going to be how we play. No, we used to play this way. Now we're going to change it. Like, no, this is what Lindy Ruff is coming here to coach. And every player they've brought in speaks to playing more buttoned up, playing more defensive when they have to, playing more mature. I mean, that's exactly what McLeod is. That's exactly what all those fourth liners, Malenstein, Lafferty, and Obey Kubel, all speak to. All of them are good defensive players. And most of them, other than McLeod, are physical players. So, to me, last year when they wanted to play a style that was more defensively responsible, I don't think they were capable. Now I feel like they're capable. At least in the defensive end, I feel like they are now actually capable of doing it.
A big issue last year, though, was the top six, or let's just say the top three or four, not scoring.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
The question I have is, does this change and allow them to be better there? Because if that doesn't happen, it's all for naught, to be honest. They have to score more. Tuck, and I know he had some injuries. I'm sorry, Thompson, I know he had some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Tuck, Dylan Cousins, these guys have to score more. And you just got rid of Jeff Skinner.
Yeah.
Right? Who could maybe still score 30. Who knows? 25 goal scorer, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. The thought could be, and I think this is what the thought is, we get better in our bottom six, it allows those guys to accentuate what they do better. They don't have to be, I don't want to say it like irresponsibly, they don't have to be the most defensive, responsible guys. If other guys in the lineup are actually pulling that, they can do what they do a little bit better, right? But Joe, as much as you talk about, and you're right, the bottom six being more better and lifting up the bottom, and they're going to be more defensive, responsible, I still need those guys to score.
And
you just took away one of their best goal scorers from that group.
It's the thing.
And haven't replaced them.
It's the thing that's holding me back from saying they're a better team. Like, I think their bottom six is better. The thing, like Adam said last week, and actually this was before they made the McLeod trade, they were a much better team on paper than they were last year. And even after the McLeod trade, the reason I'm still hesitant to say that is I still don't feel like they have enough goal scoring. At least I'm worried about it. At least I'm concerned about it. I think for that to happen, I've got a lot of ifs at the top of the lineup. I need the ifs of, is Cousins going to bounce back? Is Thompson going to bounce back? Is Quinn going to stay healthy? Is Benson going to take a big step from year one to year two? Did Zucker just have a bad year scoring 14 goals, or has he hit the cliff? Is he old? I've got a lot of ifs. And last year, we can talk about defensively responsible, how that was a problem for them and how being tough to play against was a problem for them. You know what else was a problem for that team last year? Scoring goals. They were not a great goal-scoring team last year. They were an outright bad power play team last year. And let's quickly on that before we take a break. Power play. Is their power play better?
I don't know.
That was maybe the worst part of their team last year was their power play. Any element of their roster, what was the worst
is
thing
it better?
They did
it
last year?
It has to be. This goes back to what I was just saying, which you're right. If the power play is going to be better at this point, it has to be internally better. Didn't do anything to improve it externally.
There's no different personnel, not in the first unit.
The only thing can be better is if they design it differently, coach it differently, and those guys just finish. I don't know.
That would be it. Matt Ellis got a lot of criticism last year as an assistant coach, being in charge of the power play, that, hey, it was a coaching thing. Well, all right, well, let's see. Because players are the same, mostly Skinner will be different. Skinner out and probably Quinn on that unit. Maybe they'll try Paterka. Maybe we'll see. The coaching element would be the difference. If we all thought Matt Ellis was the problem with their power play, well, now Lindy and one of his assistants are going to be running that thing. I mean, we're about to find out if it was the players or if it was the coaching. Because Skinner off, and I guess I put Quinn or Benson. It's pretty much the same, though, otherwise. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought on the Sabres in the big picture here. We've got Paul Hamilton coming up at 8 o'clock. There was a football tweet overnight, though, that I want to touch on when we get back. Comparing quarterback generations, Scott Kazmir had a tweet that I very much disagreed with, and I want to get in on when we come back. It does include Josh Allen, this conversation. Bills training camp, by the way, is 16 days away, 2 weeks from Wednesday, right?
Yes, first practice. They report 2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
I think I'll have to look at the schedule. Maybe the rookies are same. Usually rookies come in a little earlier, but that's not a big deal.
So when you report?
Mark Inouye. No, I'll be there the 23rd. Probably the night of the 23rd, staying into or going up that Tuesday morning.
Gotcha.
Wednesday morning, sorry.
It's coming quick. A couple weeks away. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, timeout here. Quarterback tweet from overnight that I got to get in on. That's when we come back here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Do you see or think of yourself as the greatest dual threat to ever play the game?
No, Lamar Jackson.
What? Why so? Why Lamar?
Well, Lamar's style is a little different than mine. He got big play, any play.
Yeah.
Yes, he got speed that I never had. Mm-hmm. And he's just electric. And then, like, I play the game more powerful.
Mm-hmm. You know. You're going to run through you. They might run around you.
Yeah, I can run, but I'm going to probably get caught.
That is Cam Newton on the 4th and 1 podcast. How do we feel about that? Cam Newton says Lamar Jackson is the greatest dual threat quarterback of all time. Already.
Yeah, sure. It's fine. I mean, statistically, Josh Allen has the has some unbelievable numbers.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I have no issue with anyone saying that about Lamar Jackson. He's a 2-time MVP. And yeah. Not just because he runs. He's won MVP because of his passing stats as well.
Could you say Allen?
I think you could make an argument for Allen, absolutely, with the numbers he's put up. Both to passing, rushing. He's done things that no one else ever has.
Yeah. Are they going to be 1 and 2 in this? Like, this is a very, it's not even very specific. You're really just attaching one phrase to quarterback. Because, you know, Mahomes, Brady, you want to say greatest quarterbacks of all time, you can have that debate. If I just attach the phrase dual threat to the start of it, are these guys going to be like the top two? Who's the answer before them? Was it Steve Young?
Steve Young, Randall Cunningham.
Fran Tarkenton, if I go way back, probably, right? Would be this. Vic, of course, would come up.
Yeah, great. Yeah, Vic just, I guess he never was that great of a passer, right? He had moments.
Right, that's important here. Right? Is you better be able to throw. Dual threat means the duel is running and passing. You got to be an amazing passer. Vic was a very good passer, but, you know, that's why I almost want to put Allen in here. I talked about this a little on Friday. Like, I wonder, Allen with the rushing touchdowns also, by the way.
I mean, the issue is, if you go back even to, like, John Elway could run a little bit. But he wasn't like back then, though, he was considered, oh my God, he's a good runner. You know what I mean?
Among his peers, wasn't he like
yes,
as mobile
yes,
as it really
yes.
got?
That's exactly right. For his size, he was Allen. He was Allen, but in a different era. Steve Young was the runner, running kind of like, oh my God, this guy can kind of do all that.
I didn't watch Steve Young play, but I feel like Young would be someone I'd want to champion here. Especially like for his era, doing what he did.
I mean, I think, yeah. It just depends depending on what era it is and what was asked of the quarterback and what we consider running quarterbacks at the time and what they were able to do. That's what makes it tough. Donovan McNabb was a good dual threat quarterback. I mean, you'd probably put him in the top 10 if you're doing a list or something like that.
Do you know where Allen ranks all time in quarterback rushing yards? Where does Allen rank all time?
Quarterback rushing yards. I mean,
right now, before he's even hit, isn't he not even 28 yet?
Top 10? Am I right?
He's eighth.
Oh, I was going to say 7 or 8. Damn.
He's all eighth.
Right. Yeah.
He's only behind Vic. Mm-hmm. Vic's number one. Newton is number two. Russell Wilson is number three.
Yeah, Wilson gets thrown around. I just did a little Google, and Wilson's in a lot of these discussions.
Yep. Lamar is number four. And Lamar needs 900 yards for the most all time. So he might even break that record this year. Cunningham is fifth. Steve Young is sixth. Tarkenton is seventh. And then Allen is eighth, right above the late, great Steve McNair, who is ninth. Again, though, if you want to throw touchdowns into the mix here, you know where Allen ranks in touchdowns?
First.
Second. Newton's first by 22.
Okay.
But, like, you'll get that, right? 22
this
more
rushing.
This is rushing
touchdowns only?
Rushing touchdowns only. He's second all-time amongst quarterbacks. So, I don't know. Just he could be... Depends how long Lamar plays, how long Allen plays. It's a part of this, too. 803-0550 is the phone number. This was not the tweet, by the way, I wanted to get to on quarterbacks in, like, all time. So, Scott Kazmaier, who a very good follow on Twitter, NFL writer, he's working on a story, and he tweeted late last night, for my upcoming article. This is a tweet I have a problem with, or an argument I have a problem with. He says, we didn't know how good we had it with Mannings, Brady, Breeze, Ben, Rogers, Ryan, Russ, Romo, Rivers. Those are the nine names, he says. Then he adds, now it's Mahomes, and everyone else is at the annual Oppression Olympics as their fans create straw men for them to overcome. Isn't he saying there, the last quarterback generation was unbelievable, and right now it's just Mahomes. Isn't that kind of what he's implying? Before I go on this, because I definitely have a problem with that, isn't this quarterback generation relatively as good, just as good? It's not like so different, is it?
I think this group of quarterbacks is as good of a young group as we've seen since the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's where I come in. Like, okay.
I mean, and what are we talking early 2000s? Eli, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. These guys came into the league, right? Like,
yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Early 2000s. Like, this is the, yes, Roethlisberger, as he mentioned.
Roethlisberger, yeah.
This is as good of a young group as we've seen in a long time. And that group was the best group we saw since the 80s.
Yeah.
As a young group coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm talking Kelly, Marino, Elway, the famous 83 class, Boomer in 84, and a bunch of guys that came along right after that.
Yeah.
You get this every 20 years, which is what it is now. Think about it. You get every 20 years, to me, this replacement of really good group of young quarterbacks. In the 70s, I guess, you would say it was Dan Fouts, and there was this group of guys who were really good passers, and Joe Montana, Dan Fouts. I don't know if you want to count Phil Sims. He wasn't a great quarterback. He won. But then maybe quarterback career span wasn't as long. So 15 years later, you get 10 to 15, Marino, Kelly, Elway, Boomer, a bunch of guys that come along. Then you get your Bledsoes and guys like that. Then you get the early 2000s group we just talked about. Then you get 20 years later, this group.
I feel like this group isn't below that group. I just think it's about, I think you're comparing, or at least Scott here, is comparing whole careers to half of careers, or not even that. Like, if we want to use Brady and Mahomes here as like, okay, they're the lead dogs in these groups. It's kind of what Scott's saying, right? Like, okay, that era had Brady, but then it had all these guys right below that, and Mahomes here is like the only guy at the top, and then everybody else is just second best, and it's not even close. Like, to me, like, how different is that? Because how old's Mahomes? Mahomes is 29 years old. He's not even 30 yet. And so, I would challenge anyone to go look at before Brady's 30th birthday. Where was that generation of quarterbacks? Where were all those guys at? Brady, like Mahomes, had won three Super Bowls, right? That also would have been, he would have had that Patriots 17-0 season in there, 16-0 season in there, where he put up a million yards. Where were all the other guys? And I looked, because that's where Mahomes is at right now. And Manning had MVPs, but couldn't get it done in the playoffs. Who does that sound like? I won't even use Allen for this, by the way. I'll use Jackson. Because Jackson, even though I know very different styles, MVPs, but right now the thing about him is the guy can't perform in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. How about Roethlisberger and Burrow, who both made it to Super Bowls pretty early on, and this is how deep into it I went. Burrow, I would say, was just unlucky he couldn't win his Super Bowl with 9 completions. Because the Super Bowl Roethlisberger had, at that point in time, he had 100 yards. Again, I don't want to take it all away from him. You know, he mentions Romo, by the way. Romo had started 1 year, and it was a great year, but okay, C.J. Stroud then. C.J. Stroud's had one big year before Mahomes turns 30.
How about me, by the way? I didn't even mention Brady. I said all those early 2000s guys. Or Romo, for that matter.
Well, because Brady kind of was in like all of them.
I do want to defend Scott a little bit here, the tweet. Because I've been following up and reading some of the responses.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's saying, I think he might only be saying about the accomplishments. Like, Mahomes is winning everything.
Yeah.
And he's saying, at least we had guys like Manning and Roethlisberger and Breeze who won Super Bowls, and even Rodgers a while ago. Like, yes, now it's only Mahomes winning right now, is what for the young guys, is what he's saying. Stafford did win a Super Bowl. He's older, though. If you go to one of his follow-up tweets, he just says, right now it's sketchy. Mahomes helps it by having the best start ever, but his success limits his peers from achieving more.
And see, I get that. But you could have said the same thing about Brady 20 years ago.
Right.
He had won 3. And as I mentioned, Roethlisberger had won by that point, even though he had 9 completions in that Super Bowl. And then, like, all these other names he's mentioning, Rodgers hadn't won yet. And Rivers hadn't won yet. Rivers never won. Manning hadn't won yet. Like, to me, there's still plenty of time for all of these guys to accomplish. And a few of them are, how many, okay, so if you want to just do it by Super Bowls, so we just don't count rings here, how many of those guys that he mentioned went on to win Super Bowls? The Mannings did, Breeze got his one, Roethlisberger got a couple, Rodgers got his one. And then after that, Wilson, that's it. So 6 of those guys, I mean, is that to say that Mahomes and like 2 other players are going to win every Super Bowl? 6 quarterbacks will win in the next 10 years, right? That's not a crazy number. To say that all of these guys, Allen, Lamar, Stroud, Justin Herbert, if you want to include him, Burrow, all to say none of those guys are going to win, like not, all of them won't. I definitely agree with that. Like all of them will not. At the end of this generation of quarterback, all of these crazy talented quarterbacks that are pretty much all in the AFC, by the way, one of them, 2 of them, 3 of them are not going to win Super Bowls, and it will be a thing about them. But the other half's going to do it. There's just too many years. There's too much talent. Mahomes is not going to win every single Super Bowl. Like these other guys, Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Herbert, Stroud, like 3 of those guys will win Super Bowls, and I feel pretty comfortable in saying that. There's just too many years. There's too many opportunities, and you know the Chiefs aren't going to win every single one. It's just too hard to do it. It's just too hard to do it.
ESPN's Mike Greenberg did I remember maybe offseason, right when the offseason ended, he had a segment on who's the next quarterback to win their first Super Bowl. Okay, he did this.
Yeah.
And he listed 5. Where do you think Josh Allen fell? He did them in order of what he thought were the most likely. Next quarterback to win their first Super Bowl. I believe he had 5 listed.
I mean, I think he should be like number 2 or 3. Number 2 or 3, I would say.
Yeah, he didn't have him listed.
Not in the top 5?
Correct. Yep, correct.
Can I guess real quick at who he has listed?
Here it is. I'm trying to find it right now.
I'm going to guess he has Burrow listed.
Okay, here we go. He says...
Let me gather myself for a minute. I'm going to guess these 5 names. We'll do that right when we come back. Short segment when we come back before the top of the hour.
Okay, I have them now.
All right. I'm going to guess who did this list again?
Mike Greenberg of ESPN.
Mike Greenberg.
This was back in, let me just get the date on this. He did this after the season ended. It was in February. Okay, he did this in February. Mike Greenberg had a segment. I remember watching this going, okay, where's Allen? He never listed him. He has top five in order, most likely, quarterbacks to win their first Super Bowl. Next quarterback to win his first Super Bowl.
All right, let me figure this list out when we come back. All right, we're gonna make this instant
trivia. It's a different
trivia.
Kind of instant trivia, right?
Our trivia is guessing at what Mike Greenberg has done.
Guessing on someone else's subjective list.
Yeah. He left Josh Allen out of his top five quarterbacks most likely to win their next Super Bowl.
No, most likely next to win their first Super Bowl.
Okay, right.
It's gotta be first.
Right. All right, he has Burrow on the list.
He does. Do you want me to tell you where he has him listed?
Sure, yeah.
Third.
Okay. He has Stroud on the list.
He does not.
What?
No Allen, no Stroud.
This list is going to be ridiculous. Jordan Love.
Number one.
Come on. All right, now we found the purpose of the list. The purpose of the list isn't to leave Allen off. Like, that's not the headline grabber. Love, number one, is the headline
grabber. He has Jordan Love as the next quarterback to win his first Super Bowl.
Maybe.
By the way, just so everybody's clear, this is from, like, 4 months ago, but we're revisiting it.
Oh, it's from 4 months
ago? It's from February.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
5 months ago.
When we have a minute later, or this week, we need to get to the Packers and Jordan Love.
Okay.
The Love Fest. I love that. After the season, I loved the Packers, and it's gone way too far.
Yes. Okay.
Lamar.
Number four. You have one, three, and four. You're missing two and five.
He's not going to have Herbert on there. Dak.
Incorrect. Not on the list.
No Dak. Is Brock Purdy on the list?
Number two. I mean, he has played in one already.
He's played in one. He's got in the NFC, I think
Love,
they're the favorites.
Purdy,
so.
Burrow, Lamar.
I'm missing one?
You're missing one.
Is this easy?
I mean, he's top of mind for you, but you would totally disagree because you just said his name a minute ago.
Herbert?
Yes.
No, come on.
He's got Herbert, number five.
I am a big Justin Herbert defender. I love Justin Herbert, but the Chargers are not. If the game is who's most likely to win the Super Bowl for the first time, you have to look at their current situation.
Yes.
What are the Chargers better at than the Bills are?
Agreed. He is looking at the entire, because he talks about Love being on a rookie contract or, you know, guys like that. And he talks about Herbert now with Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else isn't on the list?
Who?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Doesn't have him.
Yeah.
Doesn't have Hurts, doesn't have Allen, doesn't have Stroud, doesn't have Dak, doesn't have Stafford. I'm sorry, Goff. I keep doing
Where
that.
Would Allen be on your list? You're doing
most
the same list.
Most likely.
To win their first Super Bowl.
To win their first.
Or to be the next one to win their first.
Boy, he'd be top three. I don't know how I could leave him off. I think him, Burrow, and Lamar would be somewhere, one, two, three, put him in the Yahtzee cup and throw him out. I don't know.
Yeah. I would certainly have Stroud in my top five.
I think so too, but
I don't know if he might be fifth. He might be fourth, but
so real quick, on the panel, Lewis Riddick, Marcus Spears, and Field Yates.
Yeah.
Also gave their number one guy, and it was all the same.
They were all Jordan Love?
No.
Oh.
They were all Joe Burrow.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I would expect he'd be the most popular answer to that question. He's made it to one.
Yeah, so Riddick, Spears, and Yates all said Joe Burrow for their number one next quarterback to win his first Super Bowl.
Man, the Jordan Love Love Fest.
Also, by the way, should I even say this? No Tua on the list, if anybody was wondering.
I almost wish Tua was on the list so I could yell about it. I am looking for reasons to yell about Tua and the Dolphins.
No.
I am looking for
it. Hold on. No. Who am I thinking of here? No. Deshaun Watson on the list. They're a good team.
They are. Very quickly, I mentioned to you off air, I was listening to Mina Kimes and John Ledyard on the Mina Kimes show rank the defenses in the NFL. They both had the Browns number one. Oh, no. Sorry. Excuse me. No. One of them had the Chiefs number one. The other one had the Browns. number one defense in football. Timeout here. We'll get back to hockey. The Ryan McLeod trade. Matt Savoy goes to Edmonton. McLeod to Buffalo. Paul Hamilton joins the show coming up next. We'll talk more about the trade and his thoughts on it when we come back. Sal's in. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, we're gonna make this
it's
instant
a different
trivia.
Kind of instant trivia, right?
Our trivia is guessing at what Mike Greenberg has done.
Guessing on someone else's subjective list.
Yeah. He left Josh Allen out of his top five quarterbacks most likely to win their next Super Bowl.
No, most likely next to win their first Super Bowl.
Okay, right.
It's got to be first.
Right. All right, he has Burrow on the list.
He does. Do you want me to tell you where he has him listed?
Sure, yeah.
Third.
Okay. He has Stroud on the list.
He does not.
What?
No Allen, no Stroud.
This list is going to be ridiculous. Jordan Love.
Number one.
Come on. All right, now we found the purpose of the list. The purpose of the list isn't to leave Allen off. Like, that's not the headline grabber. Love number one is the headline
he
grabber.
He has Jordan Love as the next quarterback to win his first Super Bowl.
Maybe.
By the way, just so everybody's clear, this is from like 4 months ago, but we're revisiting it.
Oh, it's from 4 months ago.
It's from February.
Okay, that's funny.
5 months ago.
When we have a minute later or this week, we need to get to the Packers and Jordan Love.
Okay.
The Love Fest. I love that. After the season, I loved the Packers, and it's gone way too far.
Yes. Okay.
Lamar.
Number four. You have one, three, all right, and four. You're missing two and five.
He's not going to have Herbert on there. Dak.
Incorrect. Not on the list.
No Dak. Is Brock Purdy on the list?
Number two. I mean, he has played in one already.
He's played in one. He's in the NFC, I think
Love,
they're the favorites.
Purdy, so. Burrow, Lamar.
I'm missing one?
You're missing one.
Is this easy?
I mean, he's top of mind for you, but you would totally disagree because you just said his name a minute ago.
Herbert?
Yes.
No, come on.
He's got Herbert, number five.
I am a big Justin Herbert defender. I love Justin Herbert, but the Chargers are not... If the game is who's most likely to win the Super Bowl for the first time, you have to look at their current situation.
Yes.
What are the Chargers better at than the Bills are?
Agreed. He is looking at the entire, because he talks about Love being on a rookie contract or,
yep,
you know, guys like that. And he talks about Herbert now with Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else isn't on the list?
Who?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Doesn't have him.
Yeah.
Doesn't have Hurts. Doesn't have Allen. Doesn't have Stroud. Doesn't have Dak. Doesn't have Stafford. I'm sorry. Goff. I keep doing
that. Where would Allen be on your list? You're doing
most
the same list.
Most likely.
To win their first Super Bowl.
To win their first.
Or to be the next one to win their first.
Boy, he'd be top three. I don't know how I could leave him off. I think him, Burrow, and Lamar would be somewhere 1, 2, 3. Put him in the Yahtzee Cup and throw him out. I don't know.
Yep. I would certainly have Stroud in my top five.
I think so too, but
I don't know if he might be fifth. He might be fourth, but
so real quick, on the panel, Lewis Riddick, Marcus Spears, and Field Yates.
Yeah.
Also gave their number one guy, and it was all the same.
They were all Jordan Love?
No.
Oh.
They were all Joe Burrow.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I would expect he'd be the most popular answer to that question. He's made it to one.
Yeah, so Riddick, Spears, and Yates all said Joe Burrow for their number one next quarterback to win his first Super Bowl.
Man, the Jordan Love Fest.
Also, by the way, should I even say this? No Tua on the list, if anybody was wondering.
I almost wish Tua was on the list so I could yell about it. I am looking for reasons to yell about Tua and the Dolphins.
No,
I am looking for.
Hold on, no. Who am I thinking of here? No, Deshaun Watson on the list. They're a good team.
They are. Very quickly, I mentioned to you off air. I was listening to Mina Kimes and John Ledyard on the Mina Kimes show rank the defenses in the NFL. They both had the Browns number one. Oh no, sorry, excuse me. No, one of them had the Chiefs number one. The other one had the Browns. Number one defense in football. Time out here. We'll get back to hockey. The Ryan McLeod trade. Matt Savoy goes to Edmonton. McLeod to Buffalo. Paul Hamilton joins the show coming up next. We'll talk more about the trade and his thoughts on it when we come back. Sal's in. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.